Please turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. My message this morning is, but where are the nine? Perhaps you can guess the context here. Have you ever heard that song, Now Thank We All Our God? Did we sing that this Thanksgiving season? Maybe we did. I think so. It's written by a man named Martin Rinehart. His date's 1586 to 1649. He was a German Lutheran pastor in Eilenburg in Germany. And he was born there and he died there. He served during the 30-Year War, 1618 to 1648, which included a severe plague in 1637. During this time, Eilenburg became an overcrowded refuge for the surrounding area. As people were dying, the refuge started to flood into Eilenburg. And at the beginning of 1637, the year of the Great Plague, there were four ministers in Eilenburg, but one abandoned his post for a healthier area and couldn't be persuaded to return. Pastor Rinehart officiated at the funerals of the other two. As the only pastor left, he often conducted services for as many as 40 or 50 persons a day, funeral services. And altogether, over the period of the year, there were 4,480 of them. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? In May of that year, his own wife died. By the end of the year, the refugees had to be buried in trenches without services. There were just too many of them. It was during this time that Pastor Rinehart wrote these words. Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us, with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, and keep us in his grace, and guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills in this world and the next. All praise and thanks to God, the Father now be given, the Son and him who reigns with them in highest heaven, the one eternal God whom earth and heaven adore, for thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore. That written in that year of over 4,000 deaths, burying his own wife and many of his friends. Here is a man who knew that thanksgiving comes from a heart that's fixed upon the love of God, fixed upon his mercy and his grace without respect to the surroundings, without respect to what's happening. God is good no matter what. He is. That's his nature, to be good and loving and merciful and gracious. The scriptures are full of admonitions given to us that remind us we need to be thankful to God. God is good, and we need to be thankful to him. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Psalm 103 and verse 2. Ephesians 5:20 says, give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then there are the stories in the Bible of the ingratitude of certain individuals, also used of the Lord to point out how important it is that we don't do what they did and be ingratefuls. And so we want to look at one of those stories in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, the story is told of 10 lepers that were healed by the Lord Jesus. Beginning in verse 11, Luke 17 and verse 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorifying God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole." Now, those last verses are interesting, aren't they? He says to him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith is made." Some people believe, based upon that verse, that the other 9 got their leprosy back. Doesn't say that. We can't know that for sure. But they use verse 19 as their proof text for that. At any rate, the 9 missed out on something, didn't it? The blessing of returning to the Lord and worshiping at his feet as this one Samaritan enjoyed. One Samaritan came back. Now, it would be hard for the Jews to hear this. To hear this story, the hero in the story is a Samaritan. They were the dogs. They were the half-breeds in the north up in Samaria. They didn't want to even get close to them. They were nasty, they thought, spiritually and otherwise. And so they didn't want to be outdone by a Samaritan. This would be a sad story for them, but it would also prick their hearts, as I hope it pricks our hearts this morning. In Luke chapter 10, another Samaritan had been the hero. You remember the man who was taken among thieves as he passed down the Jericho road from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And the priest and the Levite walked by and they just went on. And the Samaritan stopped and took care of him. What a wonderful story. A Samaritan, the hero. Imagine that, the Jews would say. Jesus asked this man in verse 17, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? What did he really expect from them? What exactly did they fail to do? And the answer to that is they did not express gratitude to God. That's what they forgot. That's what they left off. And as we've already read, God requires that in everything we give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and me. But what's more, because of their ingratitude, they missed out on this opportunity. Wouldn't it be great to be able to say, "I went back to the Lord who healed me and I worshiped him at his feet"? This one man enjoyed that wonderful privilege to glorify God who was in his very presence. I'd love to go even if I weren't healed of any dread disease and go and fall at the feet of the Lord Jesus. I'm looking forward to that, aren't you? Surely they must have known he was God. This is God in the flesh. And they still didn't go back. They didn't offer their gratitude. They didn't glorify God, verse 18. To glorify means to ascribe worth to him. To ascribe worth to him and to praise him for his praiseworthiness. The Bible tells us, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." It's our highest calling. I've said that many times. To bring glory to God. That's what we're here for. To bring glory for God. That's why we're going to be in eternity with him. To glorify him for all eternity. What a worthy cause. What a blessing for us. To worship our God. Thirdly, they didn't use their good fortune to cause other people to glorify the Lord either. Or at least not in such a way as the Spirit of God was impressed to write it down here for us to know that. But the Bible tells us, "Let your light so shine before men," doesn't it? And why should we let our light so shine before men? That they may see your good works and that they'll glorify your Father which is in heaven. Do you doubt that that's why we're here? To let our light shine, to be salt and light in the earth so that people will glorify God with us. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that you should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into this marvelous light." To show forth the praise of him. 1 Peter 2:12 says, "Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they may speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your good work," or good works, "which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." That's what we're about. All of this begs the question, where are the nine? Why didn't they come back? Why didn't they do what man was created to do here? What was it that they valued so much that it kept the nine from receiving the joys of this one man? To answer that, let me ask you, what keeps you from giving thanks to God? I doubt if their excuses are much different than ours would be. I doubt if our circumstances are more severe than their circumstances were. If 10 of us were privileged to walk by the Lord, to be healed of some dread disease in our day, to live in his very presence and have the same experience, I would imagine that he would still be asking, where are the nine? Just based upon how well I know us. I hope that doesn't hurt your feelings. It's true though, isn't it? We're not thankful enough. Where are the nine? I'd like to give you nine possibilities of where they were, why they didn't come back. Nine possibilities. Number them. Some people will not come back. One of these men did not come back. Perhaps, and I don't know, this is not out of the Bible, but we're just surmising here. Probably too tired. Mentally tired, too physically tired. You ever use that excuse? He would say to you something like, "Well, I had been waiting there for the Lord to come by all day on my feet. My feet were sore. I didn't sleep very well last night." You know, some of us had this plan for some time. It would mean a long walk to go back after I had visited the priest, and it would take a lot of nerve actually to approach the Messiah again, and I'm just too tired. I wonder if you are at times, or if I am at times, too tired to give the Lord the glory that's due his name. You know, we're tired. We are. We have our things to do. We're working at a job that God gave us. We're washing the car that God gave us. We're playing ball with the friends that God gave us. We're mowing the yard that God gave it. We're doing all these things, enjoying the benefits, and we're too tired after we get through enjoying them so hard that we don't have time. We're too tired to go back and worship the Lord. With other things in life, when we get tired, we say, "I need some rest." That is, unless I have something I want to do more important than rest. And then we go do that, right? It doesn't matter how tired we get. It's something, if we don't want to do the next thing, then we need rest. If we do want to do the next thing, then we don't need so rest. "We're doing all right now. I feel pretty good. It's amazing to me." And we're energetic and we're ready to go do the next thing. Brothers and sisters, we need to give thanks to the Lord. In spite of our long days and our busyness and our tiredness, giving thanks to the Lord. Oh, how important. What if Jesus got tired what if he got tired and went home on his way up to Golgotha? Lay the cross off his shoulder. "I'm too tired for this." He went through. He did what he had to do for us because he loved us. Actually, being tired might be, if we're tired, we might be at our best spiritually at that point. Remember what the Lord said to Paul when he asked, "Remove this thorn in the flesh." And he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your," what? "In your weakness." Paul said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Maybe we would do our best praising when we're kind of worn out. I have often thought sometimes my best messages were when I was just terribly tired from before, and I realize I can't, and God just takes over, and He does. It's amazing to me. What a powerful, what a mighty God we serve. Are we too tired? Are we too tired, too weak to praise Him? How about man number two? He says, well, I have friends and family to tell. I still haven't been to the priest. I've been asked to speak at a men's prayer breakfast tomorrow. And I'm just too busy. I'm too busy to go back now. Too busy. Number two, are you too busy to offer thanks? One employer wrote this little paragraph and put it in the break room. He said, due to the increased competition and the desire to stay in business, we find it necessary to institute a new policy. We're asking that somewhere between starting and quitting time and without infringing too much on the time usually devoted to lunch period, coffee break, rest period, storytelling, ticket selling, and vacation planning, and the rehashing of yesterday's TV programs, each employee endeavor to find some time that can be set aside and known as the work break. Silly, isn't it? What must God think of our worship break? We should do that mostly. That should be the thing that we desire the most. But we're too busy. If we're too busy to worship God, brothers and sisters, then you need to not be so busy. We need to put first things first. We need to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We need to give Christ preeminence in our life. Please don't just listen. I want you to listen, but I want you to do something about it. If God pricks your heart about one of these reasons that you hear, you need to mark it down. You need to think about it and meditate upon it. Let's be more thankful. The Bible says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You're not too busy. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added. What's the best use of our time? Is there anything more important than glorifying God? Not really. Number three, this man says, I'm just too excited. He's so excited. I'm just so excited. I got my home back. I got my family back. I got my job back. All my friends are coming back around. I'm just too excited to do anything now but enjoy my new lease on life. Are you too excited? Things are really snapping now. Things are really coming into place. Life's coming together, and I'm really excited about what's happening. We get excited about things coming up and things passing in our lives, don't we? I used to think to myself, I've had these thoughts numerous times, you know, Lord, just let me live to get out of school. That was a landmark in life that I was so excited about passing. I want to get out of school because I didn't like school when I was going to high school. And then after I got out of school, or actually before, I said, Lord, please let me get my driver's license. Lord, if I could just get my driver's license. And these big events come in our house. Then we want to get married. Then we want to have a baby. Then we want to buy a house. Then we want to do this. And before long, life is gone. And we were too excited about all those things to spend time with the Lord. And yet we sing, all that thrills my soul is Jesus. He's more than life to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. We have to remember James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You can pardon my English, but I would say to you, you ain't seen nothing yet. God has so much in store for us. Now unto Him that is able to keep us from falling, to present us faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Jude 24. Too excited? Too much happening. Got other things on my mind. I'm a happy man. Tell God. Thank God. Man number four was too depressed. He said, depressed? He was saying to his friends, just think of the years I've wasted being a leper. Life has passed me by. My children are gone, grown. My wife is old. My house is in poor repair. No, I'm just too depressed to go back. Are you too depressed to give thanks to the Lord? People who live in other countries, especially third world countries, they look at us over here in the West and they just marvel. They're amazed that anybody living in this land of plenty could have a sad day or be depressed. And yet, who among us thinks of ourselves as well off? Oh, we're all right, average. Even in our plenty, sometimes we get our eyes off the Lord, don't we? And we only see the negative things in life. Even in the midst of all of this blessing that we enjoy, we only focus on negative things. We should ask with the psalmist, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Why are you cast down? Why? What reason do you have to be depressed and discouraged? Man number four was depressed. Man number five, he says, I got plenty of time. It's too early. I have plenty of time to say thank you. I'm sure Jesus won't be hard to find later with all the goodwill that he's spreading around. I'll go later. Do you think you have plenty of time to praise the Lord? It'll be different when we stand in his presence. Oh, I know you'll thank him there after you get through apologizing for all the times you didn't thank him here. I'm sure Jesus won't be hard to find. I'll thank him later, number five said. I've heard a lot of times from those who lost loved ones. Generally, it's at the end of a funeral service or in the graveyard or sometime in that first few weeks. There are just some things I wish I had said. And I always remind them, you'll see them again, you know, to comfort and console. But, you know, for us living, it's not too late. It's not too late right now, and it's not too early either. It's not too early. It's time to thank God. The scripture tells us, I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work, the Lord said in John chapter 9. Well, the day is coming, the night is coming when we won't have opportunity to give thanks. Psalm 107, verse 8 and 15 and 21 and 31 say, oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Brothers and sisters, it's not too early. It's time. It's time now to thank the Lord. It will be time tomorrow to thank the Lord some more for the things that happened between now and then. And we'll be thanking him all day for all of the things we've forgotten. You say, well, it's not too early. Maybe it's too late. Man number six says it's too late. I doubt if he'd even remember me now. I mean, we were just there for a few seconds and he said, go show yourself to the priest. Too late. Can't go back. He probably not even in the area he was traveling, you know. No, I should have gone earlier, but it's too late now. It's never too early, it's never too late to say thank you to God. We could say, well, it was all the way back in January. That's old news now. The blessing, the thing that comes to mind that I'm just so thankful for is back in January. It's a long time ago. But God doesn't forget what he did for us. And he warns us not to. We should not forget what he did either. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Psalm 103, verse 2. Don't forget. Man number seven. Man number seven was proud. There may be those who never knew I had leprosy. Why do I need to tell them now? Right now, people are sort of minding their own business. Why would I get their attention on me at this point? Too proud to say thank you. Might even go so far as to say, right now, people think that I'm sort of responsible for this healing. You know, my new diet and the new cream I've been rubbing on, my leprosy and all those things. Right now, they think I'm doing it. Why share the glory? Why take the spotlight off of me? They look at me and I'm the hero in my own case. And we need to remember that pride cometh before destruction, or goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Who maketh thee to differ from another, and what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? You know, I think pride might be one of the reasons. You have to think about it a little bit, but I have, and I think pride might be one of the reasons that we don't thank the Lord more. We sort of feel responsible for what we do. It's mine, I earned it. It was successful, and I did it. We can't do it without the Lord. Your heart will stop beating without the Lord. Your breath will stop. Your breathing will stop without the Lord. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Maybe the most prevalent reason that we don't give thanks is because of our pride. Man number 8, he was a little hard-hearted. Too hard-hearted. He says to himself, you know, I don't know that Jesus did that. I mean, he told me to go see the priest, yes. But he actually wasn't around when I was cleansed. Maybe it's just one of those kind of freak of nature things. He was too hard-hearted to give thanks to the Lord. Pharaoh was hard-hearted when the rod became a snake, when the water to blood, the frogs, the gnats, the flies, the boils, the hail and fire, the locusts, the darkness, and the death of the firstborn. Hard-hearted. I would ask, how long are you going to be hard-hearted? It's God. God did it. Everything good, everything that you enjoy, God did it. It's God. It's from the hand of God. Give him thanks. Harden not your heart. Hebrews 3:8 says, as in the provocation and the day of temptation in the wilderness, harden not your heart. The last man, well, he's dishonest. He's too lazy. Too lazy. I don't want to go, he said. We live in a culture that tells us in 2019 and 20 to come, I'm sure it'll be the same. We live in a culture that tells us if you don't want to do something, just don't do it. Do what you want to do. Life's too short. Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death. The next generation said, give me liberty. And our generation says, give me. They want everything. A cell phone. They want everything. The scripture tells us, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth. And thy want as an armed man, as an armed man, a victim of robbery is the idea. Proverbs 24:33-34. You say, where'd you get all of that? I didn't get it out of the Bible. I got the principles out of the Bible. And the verses that I gave you with the principles, well, they're biblical principles. There are people too tired to do what they ought to do. And they ought not be. There are people too busy, too excited, too depressed, too early, too late, too proud, too hard-hearted, or too lazy. And maybe I didn't hit your excuse. You mean there are more? Oh, I think so. Maybe the Spirit of God reminds you of why you're not being thankful. Maybe it's some bitterness in your heart. I don't know. Why are you not being thankful? If the Holy Spirit brought it to your attention, then do business with him. Be resolved. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We should praise God. What do we have to be thankful for, though? Well, we could start with the gospel, couldn't we? Let me give you an opportunity to practice what I preach, okay? Let's praise the Lord a little bit together. Let's be thankful this morning for what God's done. It's not a big deal to mention it. Oh, it doesn't make that much difference, does it, Pat? Yeah, it does to God. He says, be thankful. So no speeches, just a sentence. What do you have to be thankful for? I praise God for my wife. What a wonderful helpmeet she is to me. I praise the Lord for you people. I love you. I purpose your good. And I also have that little feeling inside when I think about you too. It's not just agape love, it's phileo too. I love you people. I thank God for you. I thank God for Corinth Baptist Church. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, for me to serve here, to be a pastor. Me, a country farm boy, to stand up and speak to people. Wow, what a God. And if you don't jump in, I'll just keep going. What do you have to be thankful for?
I'm thankful that my children are saved.
Amen.
I'm thankful for this church and brothers and sisters in Christ I have, that we all have to share, that we can serve and serve the Lord together.
Amen. What do you have to be thankful for? What? How about thinking about the things he didn't give you that you deserve? The negative things. It is his mercy. I have on several occasions been in a situation where I should have died. I fell out of a tree. I was in an accident in a car one time. I should be dead, but I'm not. God is so merciful to me, so gracious to me. How about you? Amen. Amen. What are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for my family and my friends.
To call God Father. Isn't that wonderful? To call Almighty God my Father. Thankful for my country. I don't like the way it's headed, but I sure am glad I can carry my Bible where I want to. And I think and believe and commit myself to the things of the Lord, and nobody gets in my way. I'm free to do that. I praise the Lord for that. Amen. That's good. Anything else?
Born in a time and a place where they can fix my hip.
Yeah.
Fix my eyes.
Amen.
I'm thankful for his grace and his unfailing love, no matter what I do.
That's awesome, isn't it? No matter what we do, he keeps loving us. Aren't you thankful for Matt and Brittany and their two girls? Praise the Lord for Matt and Brittany. And for Tina and Matt who come. And for Jeremy and Pretty. Aren't you thankful for the cry of a baby? Down in our nursery to hear those little coos. I love it. I told the moms, I said, they sound so comfortable. For Nate and Priscilla, little Paul.
My wife and my family, for God's mercy and grace upon our lives, health and strength that He gives us each and every day. There's no way we could ever thank Him for all the things He does for us.
Without prayer, we wouldn't be.
Be a whole lot of one-way communication, wouldn't it? Without prayer. Thankful for Ed Leskey sitting over here, his wife Amy and their children. They've been an encouragement to my heart. Have they yours? Just to have them visit with us. Thankful for Jeb back there. Jeb was away a little bit. Now he's started coming back, and Jeb, you're an encouragement to me, and I thank the Lord for you. Praise the Lord for you.
Can I be thankful some more, sir?
No, you have to quit after three. No, go ahead, please.
I'm thankful for our military. And our children who work the police force, two sons, live well, work a lot of hours, see to a lot of danger. But you never know.
Yep. God is good.
14 months in Iraq. He told me a few stories, and I asked him not to tell him anymore.
Yeah.
And he came
home. Amen.
My head spins so hard.
Go ahead.
My head spins with thankfulness. Just trying to verbalize. In this past week, we had heavy surgery with my wife, and got the call from the surgeon that there's no cancer to be seen anymore.
Amen.
Thank God. Still a time of healing, but we haven't stopped praising Him.
Amen.
Even when she's going through the pregnant times, we never stopped praising God. We thank Him.
Yep. We praise the Lord for Amy too, and you continue to pray for her surgery this week and the healing process. Praise the Lord for what He's done, though. Amen. Thank you. Braylen?
Thank you for all the opportunities He has given between being a student, working with the IUCN and all the residents that I've worked with. It's a great opportunity. Thank you for my grandparents who really shown me the way. God, my parents, thank you for that.
Amen. Thank you. So it's a good start, right? A good start. It would be a shame if Thanksgiving to us meant turkey. When we have a wonderful God. And we can sing His praise and we can thank Him. Not just on one day a year, but every day of the year. Brothers and sisters, let's be more thankful. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this wonderful season of thanks, Lord, and the meditations of our heart, Lord, I know from everyone, and the articulated praise, Lord, from the mouths of others. Help us not to make excuses. Going forward, Lord, I pray that we would just be more thankful. And that when we enter into Your presence, Lord, that praise and thanks, and that it would just continue, Lord, for all eternity. You're so deserving. Lord, we don't even understand how much just yet. But we just have a glimpse of it here, and we praise You for who You are and what You are and what You've done and continue to do for us. Father, we love You. Thank You, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.